Good morning, Zeke.
Howdy.
How are you?
Doing very, very well. How are you doing?
Doing very well as well. I'm looking forward to this interview you've got. We have a live in-studio guest today joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, we have Rick Cassini of Maison Cassini House. Mm-hmm. It's one of those sort of like Paul Champlain bridge things. And in short, first of all, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you for waking up so early in the morning. You said you were bringing your own coffee, but you didn't. I could have brought you coffee.
I drank it all in the car.
Okay. And yeah, he is the person behind the latest. I would actually say it's the latest and greatest gallery in town. It's called Maison Cassini House. It's at the Belgo Building, 372, number 408. My first question is, why in the heck do you want to open another gallery in Montreal?
Well, we have been running an art gallery for the last couple of years, and Montreal's been our home for the last couple of years, but our gallery hasn't been here. And so we had always said in 2009 we'd open a gallery in Montreal, and we're just back living that promise out. So.
Okay, that gallery in Burlington, how long had that been open for?
We had opened that gallery in 2007, mm-hmm. and we closed that in December of this year.
Okay, and so do you view the Burlington Gallery and the Montreal Gallery as being one and the same and just sort of a part of a continuum, or is there a switch between them because there is that sort of what would be called that border in between the two of them?
Well, we started this trip in 2004, mm-hmm. When we created Art Shop, and Cassini House had begun doing a lot of art dealing. And the gallery is really a manifestation of a lot of the different things that we do. Some of it is the art dealing, some of it is the our art shop, which focuses on small art products. And it's the home of other things, such as our print shop. And so the gallery in Vermont, which represented a lot of Vermont artists, as well as some Montreal and Canadian artists, was an expression of kind of that broader work. And this Montreal gallery is equally an expression of that work. It's not quite an exact continuum, and because they are different countries. And Cassini House, which existed in the and continues to exist in the U.S., has a slightly different mandate than Maison Cassini up here in Canada.
Okay. What are the distinctions, the differences?
Sure. I mean, Maison Cassini is very focused on the Vermont art scene. I'm sorry, Cassini House is very focused on the Vermont art scene. I live them both, so they get confused. And part of what Cassini House does is promote Vermont art and Vermont as a contemporary arts destination. And they do that through publishing a Vermont art guide and a little magazine called Art Map Burlington. But it is fairly focused on that pretty wonderful region of America. But Maison Cassini is a little different. Maison Cassini is really focused on contemporary art in Montreal and as it relates to kind of the broader world. And we have a much more global perspective, in part because Montreal is a place where you can have a global perspective.
The airport in Burlington says international.
It does say international. I'm not sure why.
Now I can also understand why I'm... Yeah, probably for about the next at least 5 years going to be confused, because if one of them is Cassini House and the other one is Maison Cassini and it is that Pont Champlain bridge sort of thing and I sort of run them together, Maison Cassini House, it's right brain, left brain, that's going to be, it's a good thing it's this early in the morning. But yeah, there it's, you just opened on Saturday, right?
Correct.
Yes, and... Yeah, and not in a nutshell. You can foam at the mouth all you want. If you can explain all the big things that I missed because I was previously occupied and everything that other people missed, but what they should come and see right
now. Your absence was... We were all waiting for you. What we did for the opening was we had an exhibition of the dozen or so gallery artists that we work with, as well as the installation of Art Shop, which is an ongoing project. And we invited Emma Waltred Howes, who's a performance artist, to come in and wrap the gallery. And I will tell you, this is not something easy for someone who runs a gallery to give it over with the art on the walls to a performance artist. But she did a phenomenal job of essentially wrapping the entire gallery in brown paper. And then as a performance on Saturday, starting at noon, she began to unwrap the gallery. And Emma's work is all about how we remember space and how we relate to space. And so she was unwrapping it by cutting out little windows so you could see the artwork underneath. And she was doing that based on her own memory of where things were. And over the course of about 2.5 hours, she had kind of completely unwrapped the gallery, and the remnants of which will be up for the, at least until Friday.
Okay. That sounds very cool. It's there. It's, I thought it was, what's his name? The guy who did the gates as well with his
Christo.
Wife. Yes, Christo. I figured he had like probably copyright and trademark on wrapping stuff.
He very well may. And
I'm pleased to see that there are other artists out there who are wrapping as well, because it is, if only one is wrapping, then but if more, then you get sort of, it's like lots of artists paint.
And really, her work is about marking space and doing an intervention on the space that changes how we relate to it. The decision to wrap the space was really one that was kind of how it was a very feasible way of doing an intervention in her style in our space. Her previous project, which she had done for Dare, was called Subtle Architecture, where she went out and into the urban environment and marked lines in chalk and then photographed those spaces and then edited out the spaces that were created in chalk as a way of kind of challenging our memory of what was there before she had done that. And she's very talented. Unfortunately, she's going to Berlin for 6 months.
That's not unfortunate. She has a good time. She comes back.
It's unfortunate for Montreal, because I think what she does is pretty smart.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other artists who you are, would you be representing them, showing them, exhibiting them? What would be the verb you'd use for what you do with artists?
We represent them.
Okay.
And we have a number of artists for... about a dozen. I'll talk about a couple of them, not all of them. One of my favorites, and I hope the other artists don't take offense at that.
They won't.
Is Clement Ye, who's a Montreal artist, finished at Concordia with his MFA last year. And he's creating these large, almost bas-relief, but they're flat, sculptural works in wood, where he's taking the visual language of Montreal and specifically those old signs from the 50s and the 60s and kind of rendering them in a two-dimensional perspective in wood. And they're very luscious. They are very fine. They have a lot of grain, but very smooth. And they're a little funny because as you drive down Ontario Street and you see the like Club de Danseur, like the big strip club sign, you know, you see the connection between what he's doing and the commercial signs that are out there.
No, I remember a specific photograph of St. Hubert from about 1962, and every other store had like this 5-story bright neon sign that was absolutely phenomenal. And there recently, I was talking with Liz here about where I just walked by the Main, and they had one of those. Well, it wasn't 5 stories, but it was about 3 stories high, saying the Main, and suddenly it disappeared. And there's another one down in Old Montreal, the Franco, which I pass by very daily, and then suddenly that disappeared. And I'm getting all annoyed because obviously the zoning regulations have changed, and it is, yeah, somehow that new Main sign just doesn't cut it.
And this is a great example of what I think we're all about, because what Clement's work does is it documents and recreates a piece of our community and a piece of our history. And it kind of puts it into the realm of art. And what's great about art is that art has an amazing ability to be a time capsule. And so Clement's signs will be around much longer than the signs themselves. And what's nice about Clement's signs is that they are a both reflection on the signs, but also a reduction of the signs without their consumer orientation, without kind of the things that make them specific to that location. They're simply kind of the visual element that that kind of excites us, rendered back to us.
Does he keep everything in the same scale, or does he vary the scale depending on the sign?
The scale varies, and his work tends to be consistent. They're roughly about a meter to a meter and a half.
Okay, so they're all the same size. Yeah. The signs themselves were from tiny to humongous. My hands are, for those of you who are watching on the radio, my hands are moving up and down. Some other artists, because that's just one. And
sure. We have an artist from Vermont named Lois Ebby. And Lois, whose husband is David Budbill, who wrote Judd Vine, a play, as well as performs with a number of jazz musicians. Well, Lois's paintings are very much a connection to that jazz scene. They are big and bright and literally just colorful brushstrokes, almost like calligraphy or ink writing, but simply the strokes themselves. And they're simply kind of dancing on the page. And what Lois has done is kind of really rendered jazz in many ways in a kind of visual art form. And there's a lot of artists that explore and experiment with that theme. And she does it in a way that is just very beautiful. They're the kind of things that you want to have in your home, because it's like having a firework kind of exploding in four or five different colors on your wall.
It's not necessary. It's one of the things that I find that is sort of disappointing in the the Montreal art scene, which is pretty much the only one I know, is there are a lot of people who assume that they're doing something original, and when in actual fact, they're not doing anything original at all. And then they're the ones that I find are even better are those who recognize they're not being original at all, but they're just taking something and doing it better, taking it further, exploring new nooks and crannies and so on.
Well, you bring up a really good point, and one of the things I'm not interested in is the artist as an asocial, ahistorical, completely separated from everything else in humanity, who simply creates work that is completely unique and idiosyncratic to themselves. One of the things I like about artists, and I'll put this out here now because we have a lot of artists approaching us for shows and exhibitions. I mean, one of the things I look for is how artists plug into the rest of humanity and how they plug into community and society. And that is really more important to me than anything else. That and the quality of the work and the physical quality of the work and how well it's made.
Okay, well, you sort of anticipated my question in terms of how do you choose artists? Continue.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, people ask, who do you show, or what is the mandate of your gallery, or what is your gallery about? And I'll be honest, the gallery is very much from a curatorial perspective. They're artists who I think are doing interesting work, who I want to promote, and in that sense, the gallery is an expression of me and my vision and my interests. That is one way that we select artists. But to be honest, I can be turned on by a wide, wide, wide range of stuff. The harder line for a number of artists to cross when they want to come into our doors is really one of professionalism and quality. That the artists we work with are career-oriented, they're long-term thinkers, and they make exceptionally well-made work. And I think that at this point in art's history, that's really important, that the work itself is well made, it's going to hold up for a long time, and it not only expresses an incredible concept or an incredible observation, but also is just an incredibly fine object in and of itself.
Yeah, that also sort of then leads into, because we were discussing beforehand how you also very definitely have a sort of what I would call an American take or on the art, in terms of saying there is not necessarily the need, I would say, but the desire to actually sell it and get into somebody else's homes, get into somebody else's space. Saying, would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, we deal in objects, and one of the amazing things that I love about Montreal's art scene is its culture of artist-run centers. It's one of the things that excites me here, and it's one of the things that makes me really excited about the community here. One of the things that sets us apart from a lot of the galleries that are out there is that we're very object-oriented or product-oriented. We want to kind of know what the artist is making. And even in Emma's work, who wrapped the gallery, one of the things that I liked about what she did with her Dare Dare project was that she created a product. She created a limited edition set of rulers with a bag of chalk and one of those things teachers used to put the chalk in so they wouldn't have to touch chalk all day, and created a product that was about that broader work. And the reason why that's so important is that we're dealing with things that we want to be around for a long time. The artist wants them to be around. We want them to be around. And the people who acquire them want them to be around. And why that's important is that that's our history. That's our legacy. And if we think about how people will look back on 2000 to 2010 or the first part of this century, they will look at our objects. And our objects will tell our story and they will tell our history. And we're interested in those objects that can do that. And that's part of why we're product-oriented. The other reason we're product-oriented is we're a business. We're a commercial art gallery. Mm-hmm. We're interested in selling work, and our ability to sell work and get it out there and get it into people's homes means that we can kind of sell other work and show other work in the future. And we are in North America, and the government of Quebec and the government of Canada, by American standards, are incredibly generous when it comes to the arts. By Canadian or European standards, but I think that, you know, one of the things we bring is this kind of notion of how do you make art work from a business point of view? How does the artist make a living? How does the gallerist make a living? And how does the community sustain itself financially in the long term? And if we can kind of focus on that challenge, that's what's going to kind of keep the arts lively and vibrant for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And so that focus on product is really about that kind of sense of history and place in history, but also a sense of kind of just survival and sustaining over
yeah, it's
time.
That sort of like a waterfall where it's each, there's always water there, but each bit of water that crosses over the waterfall is new and different and adds something to it and so on. Yeah, you have a minute and a half before you get a parking ticket.
It's okay.
No, but still, a parking ticket is not good. We should mention, yes, it's Maison Cassini, which is different than Cassini House.
Correct.
It is at 372 St. Catherine Street West, which is the Belgo building for everybody concerned or everybody who doesn't realize that. Space 408. The URL is www.maisoncassini.com. Cassini is K-A-S-I-N-I. No doubles except for the I, but they're not together. Yeah, that double. I can't think of a word that would have a double I. No, never mind. That thinking on the radio doesn't work. One last thing. In the 45 seconds that are left, is there anything else that I haven't asked that you would like to tell the world out there over these microphones?
Yeah, but I would need more than 45 seconds to do it. I would say visit our website. Yeah.
No, even better. Visit the gallery.
Visit the gallery.
Are you open 7 days a week, or are you doing gallery hours?
We are doing gallery hours. Okay. So Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 5:30.
Yes, that is one of the nice things about running a gallery is, yes, you can. Yeah, thank you very much for coming in so early on your day off, because other than that, it's the running a gallery is like, yeah, you can sleep.
You ran a gallery, you don't have a day off.
I'd like to add something.
Shoot.
Please come back. Learned so much today. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Gonna go now to Democracy Now! Headlines. It's 8 o'clock on the dot. Let's listen in to Amy Goodman.